Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ in Woodbury. Now, here's Justin.
Oh, thank you, Brother Dearman. As always, appreciate your fine introduction. I want to thank you, the listener, yes, you, for tuning us in here on Reading the Word. My name is Justin Reed. Let us continue our study. Last week, we had a thrilling climax, if you will. We've been studying the book of Moses here, the book of Exodus, the writings of Moses, the entirety of this calendar year to date. And we're going to continue in Exodus. We're in Exodus chapter 12. We've just finished the 12 plagues, the 10th one being the death of the firstborn. And we also biblically discussed what the Passover is. Now, I want you to notice something here in verse 37 of Exodus 12. The Bible says, "The children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot that were men, beside children." Have you ever thought, maybe you've heard a preacher talking about it, you've done some study yourself, the Israelites when they were in Egypt, it says there's about 600,000 men. Well, if you assume that the men, if every man has his own wife, then that would be approximately 600,000 women. You're looking at 1.2 million people. And if you want to assume that the average family, as we have today, is three children, average speaking, that fluctuates from time to time, three times 600,000 is 1.8 million. So you're looking at between 2 and 3 million people are leaving Egypt. This is going to turn the Egyptian economy on its head. It's going to cause their economy to stand still. A mixed multitude went up with them with flocks, herds, and very much cattle. They'd baked unleavened bread of the dough that went forth out of Egypt. It was not leavened because they were thrust out of Egypt. They could not tarry. They did not have time. Plus, they were commanded for the next 7 days, you're only going to eat unleavened bread, because leavened bread, you don't have time to let it sit and to rise. And it came to pass, verse 41, at the end of the 430 years. What is the 430 years, you may be asking? Well, 430 years from when they went into captivity. The host of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. It is a night to be observed unto the Lord. In verse 43, the Lord says unto Moses and Aaron, "This is the ordinance of the Passover. No stranger shall eat thereof, but every man's servant that is bought for money, when thou shalt circumcise him." In other words, if he's circumcised, he shall eat it. "A foreigner, a hired servant, shall not eat it, but one in the house it shall be eaten." Look at verse 50. I love verse 50 and verse 51. "Thus did the children of Israel, as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron." Watch that. "So did they." We ought to be like Moses and Aaron, should we not? When God commands something, we should do it. Verse 51, "It came to pass the selfsame day, the Lord did bring the children of Israel out of the land by their armies." Friends, not only did Moses and Aaron, not only did they obey what God had commanded, God kept the word that he had commanded to the Israelites as well. God always keeps his word, and we would do well to keep our word, our commandments to God. Now, in the 13th chapter, which we're more or less hit the high points on, we are going to be talking about remembering. The Bible says, verse 2, "Sanctify unto me all the firstborn. Whosoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast," God says, "it is mine." I find this interesting, since God has just killed all of the firstborn of the Egyptians. And now he's saying, "I want the firstborn of the Israelites, they're mine." "Moses said to the people, remember this day, which ye came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of hand the Lord brought you out from this place. There shall be no unleavened bread eaten." He says, you need to remember what has happened here. Verse 8, he says, "And thou shalt show thy son in that day, saying, this is done because of that which the Lord did unto me when I came forth out of Egypt." In other words, you need to teach the future generations what has happened, what you've gone through, and let them teach the next generation. I'm reminded in the New Testament of 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2, commit thou to faithful men what thou hast learned. See, Christianity today, friends, should not die with you or me. In fact, we should just be a stepping stone in which the gospel is carried out. Verse 10, he says, thou shalt therefore keep this ordinance in this season from year to year. They were to keep the Passover. Verse 14, it shall be when thy son asks thee in this time, saying, what is this? Then you will say unto him, by strength of hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt and from the house of bondage. Verse 20, we see that they took their journey from Succoth. They camped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. Now notice verse 21, God's still guiding his people. The Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire, and gave them light to go day by day. And he took not away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. See, friends, God is directing his people. It was their job to obey when they were told to eat this, to kill this, to place this, to be ready. And now God is going to guide them. And this great guiding beacon would be something that even the enemies would see. They would know it was true, and they would know something is up with this group called the Israelites, because they follow this pillar. And they follow this pillar at night. And so I think that would have just been an awe-inspiring, an amazing thing to see, and it makes me always appreciative to study things like this. By the way, if you want to catch any of the lessons that we've talked about here in our Reading the Word series, this is the 68th program. They're all on my website, archived for free. It's thejustinreedshow.com. That's the Justin Reed, R-E-E-D, thejustinreedshow.com. Click on Programs. Right there on the left-hand side, you'll see Reading the Word. And you can listen to any or all of them and catch up or get ahead, however the case may be. We need to take us a quick little break. We will move into the 14th chapter. They're going to cross the Red Sea. Stick around on Reading the Word.
Reading the Word with Justin Reed is sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ. The building is located at 99 Sally Parton Road at the base of Short Mountain, 6 miles off 70 on Short Mountain Road on the left. Join us for Bible study Sunday at 10 a.m., worship at 11 a.m. and 5:30 p.m., with midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m.
Oh, thank you, Brother Dearman. Glad to be back with you here on Reading the Word. Let's get right into it again, shall we? We're ready for the 14th chapter of the book of Exodus. This is where the Israelites cross the Red Sea, and they have finally made it out of the land of Egypt, which we just studied at the end of the 12th chapter, where they were there in captivity for 430 years. To put that in perspective for you, that is longer than the United States of America has been a country. Yet the nation of Israel was a nation living inside of a nation. The Bible says that the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, verse 1, if you go down to verse 3, for Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, and the wilderness has shut them in. See, Pharaoh's a politician. Pharaoh is probably going to try to spin this, God is saying, and he's probably going to put it in a way that states something to the effect of, well, they didn't really escape. They're just hanging out in the wilderness there at the edge of Egypt. They never really escaped. And so God says, I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord, and they did so. See, God will once again harden Pharaoh's heart so that he can get the honor, so that all around will know of God. Verse 5, and it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people, and said, why have they done this? Why have we let Israel go from serving us? See, there went their entire slave force, more or less. Their economy would never recover from this. He's seeing all his production, all his productivity going down the drain. So he makes them go after them. So he's going to make ready his chariots, verse 6. Takes the people with him, verse 7. 600 chosen chariots. These would have had a handful of people, up to 4 people on them, as captains over every single one of them. And the Lord hardened, verse 8, the heart of Pharaoh again. And so he pursued after the children of Israel, which foreshadowing here is going to be for his demise. Verse 9, but the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen, his army, and they overtook them encamping by the sea, by these funny-sounding names. They follow after the Israelites. But verse 10, Pharaoh drew near. The children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them. And they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, has you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us this way to carry us forth out of Egypt? See, they're afraid, and in their panic, they're crying out, and they're saying that we didn't have any graves there. I mean, people were buried there. But he's saying, we're not from there, so you've brought us to a different place to die. That's not God's plan at all. Notice verse 13, Moses says, fear ye not, and stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall never see them any more. Moses says, fear not, the Lord fights for you. The Lord cried to Moses, why are you crying unto me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. He says, but you take up your rod, and you stretch your hand over the sea, and you'll divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the middle, through the midst of the sea. God's going to perform a miracle here. Verse 18, the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. God wants all to know he is God. Verse 21, Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. The Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind, and all that night that made the sea dry land, waters were divided. It's almost as if you just pulled the water back as a curtain. The children of Israel went in the middle of the sea upon dry ground. The waters were a wall on their right hand, on their left. Notice the Bible says it's dry ground. It's not even mud. It's almost as if it is ground that has never been wet before, yet it used to be sea bottom. See, God's performed a miracle. God's in control here, not the Egyptians. The Egyptians, now, this is hundreds of feet deep. People say, well, they crossed in a shallow spot. No. They crossed in the middle. God wants all to know he is God. The Egyptians pursued after them, even all their chariots, even Pharaoh, verse 23. Verse 24, it came to pass in the morning watch that the Lord, see, you've got 2.5 million people, it's going to take them a while to cross through this, that the Lord caused a pillar of fire and cloud. It troubled the host of the Egyptians, and it took off their chariot wheels. So they were driving unevenly, and things were being thrown out. And they said, let us flee, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians. And so the Lord said unto Moses, verse 26, 27, stretch forth your hand again, and when you do, those two walls of water, one on the right and one on the left, they will engulf the Egyptians again. Verse 29, but the children of Israel walked upon dry ground. The water was a wall on their right hand and on their left. The Israelites were saved by God, and look at verse 31 as we close this chapter. Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and Moses as his servant. So that's the point of this, to free God's people, and so people will believe God and they'll listen to Moses. One historical fact I find interesting, and then we will continue on. Well, actually, we'll have to continue our thoughts next week, but scientists have found remnants of chariots at the bottom of the Red Sea. Scientists have also found remnants of horse bones and human bones. They didn't just accidentally get there, friends. I'll tell you without a shadow of a doubt in my entire body, that's the remnants of this event. God is in control. He's always in control, and he will always stay in control. We will have to close our lesson here, though. I want to go ahead and tease the next time we study, we'll be looking at a lesson I've titled Moses, From the Sea to the Song to Sinai. We're going to work our way up through the book of Exodus, all the way through the Ten Commandments, and that will continue next week here, same time, so I do hope you can make plans to join us then. Until then, I do appreciate your attention. May the good Lord bless you, and may he keep you. Please continue to pray, and thank you for listening.
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ in Woodbury.